I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Tuesday, December 29th, and the final standalone NFL game of the regular season has ended. That's right. This is also simultaneously the final recap the final recap podcast of the 2020 season. I'm glad that John Breach, I love what you do, Breach. Every day we do these shows for months on end, and you stare at your computer and you're making weird notes. And then I say, what's up, everybody? And then you pop up and you're like, hey, but you know what?
That's because his robot programming is such that when he hears you say the inflection, he says, I must activate, say something stupid, interrupt Wilson and Brinson.
That is correct. Who told you my programming? I am activated to go for the rest of this podcast. I have 20 minutes of battery left.
How old is Annabelle, your daughter? 9 months?
9 months on January 7th.
Annabelle Dalton Breach.
Imagine how freaked out she is when her dad does the robot voice.
She starts crying immediately.
All right, let's get to the game. Bills and the Patriots. They played
a game. Forgot the name of the team. It was that dumb of a game.
No, sometimes when I'm...
like a blowout. It didn't matter who they played.
No. When I'm realizing I've got to click over to the stat feed to get the score, you know, like let's say it's not in the rundown for some reason. 38-9, Bills beat the Patriots and a complete and total ass kicking. That's all this was. And Cam Newton is benched in this game. Jared Stidham and Matt Barkley were playing quarterback at the end of this game.
Let me interrupt quickly. Our guy Joe Musa, who's anchor in Stanford, tweeted this out, and this is the funniest tweet I've seen in a while. Imagine waking up at 4 a.m. and still getting benched for Jared Stidham.
You need to explain the joke, but that's funny.
That's where we're at with Cam Newton.
So it's funny to us.
There's a graphic during the Monday night game that Cam gets up at 4:20.
You want to dive into the graphic off the bat? You don't, right? Like, rather than Bills topple Patriots, you know.
You told me to explain what I was just making with the joke.
Okay,
What do you want?
This might be all we talk about the Patriots this whole podcast, so we just roll with it.
By the way, this is a glimpse into how Brent, this probably is like to be married to Brinson. Brinson's wife, please explain yourself. And then Brinson's like, what are you doing explaining yourself? I've got to be somewhere very important. Here's the graphic to back up the story I just told. According to Cam Newton, he gets up at 4:20 every day. He leaves his house somehow 10 minutes later, 4:30 in the morning.
I can't get over that part.
Especially given how elaborate he dresses. And then
he sleeps in his clothes.
It's not even wakes up. It's alarm goes off at 4:20. Leaves house at 4:30. I spend 10 minutes after I wake up debating like 4 to 5 things. I'll lie in bed for 10 minutes and look at my phone. Cam Newton's in the car 10 minutes later. But maybe go on, Ryan.
Maybe he sleeps in his car.
But then he doesn't have his first sip of coffee until 8 a.m.
That doesn't make sense either.
No. That doesn't make sense. And he also goes to bed at 11:30, look, dude, you need more sleep. Sleep later. You're exhausted by the time the game starts. That's why you get benched.
Right. And that's why the Patriots should have kept Tom Brady. He goes to bed at 8. He wakes up at 5. He gets his 9 hours of sleep. I don't know what Cam Newton's doing.
I will say that the 8 a.m. first coffee thing certainly expedites your exit from the house.
What do you mean?
Because if you have your first sip of coffee at 4:25 a.m., you're probably not leaving the house till 4:45. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I see. You're morning constitutional.
You're morning constitutional. That's correct. You're more likely to hang out at your house a little bit longer. Cam's out the door in his Range Rover, in his little air scooter, his little bird or whatever it is that he was riding, his hoverboard, 10 minutes after his alarm goes off. That blows my mind. I had a buddy, we were texting on this thread, and he was like, I do that sometimes when I have a gym workout. I'm like, what? Why would you just not set your alarm 20 minutes earlier?
Right.
So you don't have to.
By the way, you might as well get up at 2 in the morning. There's no difference between getting up at 4:20 and 2 a.m. You feel the same crappy way for the entire rest of the day.
And also, best case scenario for you guys, like, what's the fastest you've ever gotten out of your house when waking up? Like, if I have to go to the airport, I'm still not out of the house for at least 30 minutes. Like, 20, it's not happening in 10. It's not physically possible.
I know. Like, what are you, do you have, I need to know what Cam Newton has laid out. Is it a bunch of clothes already where he just jumps into it? Is he sleeping in his sweatpants? Cause you need 20 minutes to, Cam Newton doesn't live in some two bedroom ranch. It's a 5-minute walk. This is like I don't know why I'm whispering, my wife's out of town. It's like when my wife is like, it takes 8 minutes to get to the camp. I'll just leave at 8 minutes right before. It's like, no, there's built-in buffers. Like, it's not an exact 8 minutes. So I think Cam may be lying on those times. I don't believe those.
There could be a fire in my house. I can't get out in 10 minutes. Oh. I mean, I'm just not getting out. I'm burning up. So,
like, okay, let's say Cam Newton's alarm goes off at 4:20 a.m. It literally will take him 3 minutes, a minute, like somewhere between 90 seconds and 3 minutes to walk downstairs and get to his kitchen.
Maybe
he lives in a giant house. What are we talking about here?
Maybe he does the Forrest Gump sprint around the corner thing, and just as soon as the alarm goes off.
We don't know that he lives in a giant house. He might live in an apartment or a giant condo because he's only there for a year. Maybe a couple blocks away from the stadium.
But to Britson's point, the in-between time, even if you live in a studio apartment that's 10 square feet, you have to put your clothes on, brush your teeth, get downstairs, or walk 20 feet to your car.
Is he brushing his teeth in the mornings?
I mean, it's crazy. I don't know how he does it. That's the most impressive thing he's done this season, by the way. Get out of the house at 4:30 after waking up at 4:20.
Why would you get up that early? That going to bed at 11:30, getting up that early is insane.
He's exhausted. That's the problem. He's been doing that for 4 months.
We are recording this podcast right now. It's 11:30. Can you imagine being like, all right, we're done right now, and then you're up at 4:30 in the morning? You're way more miserable than like 2 to 8.
Every Sunday night for 16 weeks now, I'm at Stanford. I get home at 2 a.m., and I have to get up at like 6:30 to 7.
It's hell on earth.
It's terrible. Also, in the four-hour drive home, I try to drink coffee for the same reasons that Cam waits till 8.
Well, that's why you wake up at 6, you slam some coffee, you get your business. Anyway, the whole thing is ridiculous. What is Cam Newton doing?
All right, and so continue about the game.
That's all we need to say about the Patriots, unless we want to talk about what we're not.
Let's talk up the Bills first, and then we can come back.
Yeah, we just spent way too much on the Patriots.
Well, we don't need to talk about the Patriots because we're going to spend a lot of time this offseason talking about what New England does. Jared Stidham looked like crap. Cam Newton looked like crap. They combined
for Tom Brady.
They combined for six. They went 9 of 21 for 78 passing yards.
Talk about the Bills. We're not going to talk about them
anymore. Oh, I'm putting a bow on the Patriots conversation. They lost 38-9 at home as a 7-point dog to the Bills in a season where they're either going to finish 6-10 or 7-9. First losing season in a very long time. First missed playoffs since 2008. This is the worst team Bill Belichick's fielded since the year before Tom Brady got there in New England. And there's going to be some soul searching in Boston because they don't have a very good football team right now. And they don't have a quarterback.
Just to add to what Brinson said real quick, they totaled 56 passing yards. That was their lowest combined passing total since 1992.
Can we please talk about the Bills? We'll come back to the Patriots. We always
do. And Scott Zolak and Hugh Millens were the quarterbacks in that game. Okay, let's talk about
it. We're not coming back to the Patriots. We're going to talk.
Great.
Let's
talk about the Bills.
We're going to do 10 minutes on the Bills and get out of here, and then we'll have a mailbag in the feed. Just stop talking. We'll have a mailbag in the feed, and then we will also, of course, have our son, you know, or what's that? What day is it? I don't know. Anyway, the Bills were awesome. Josh Allen, was it Riot or Breach who said that it was Breach who said that John, he's like, this is what Breach said Josh Allen needed to do to get into the MVP conversation. 27 of 36, 320 passing yards, four touchdowns, four carries for 35 yards. They could have scored more points, I feel like. I feel like they sort of just let up because the Patriots gave up.
Dawson Knox and Tywan Jones each dropped touchdown passes in the first quarter.
And Josh Allen got benched in the fourth quarter.
He should have been benched at halftime like Tom Brady was a couple nights ago. I mean, there was no reason for him to be out there except to break the touchdown record.
Well, when we were talking about it yesterday, I said Josh Allen was the best value. Ryan shot me down, said you're throwing away your money because there's no value because Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes is going to win it.
Is it still 12-1? Because I have a question for you after that, tough guy.
I think it's probably 6-1 right now.
Debo just put it in and says it's still 12-1.
Okay, wow. So are you going to bet $100 right now, 12-1?
I might maybe not 100, but I might take a flyer.
Breach might make a substantial investment of $5.
That money thing went off you guys in the NFC East bet and reinvest it into a Josh Allen MVP bet.
All right, bet $60 on Josh Allen.
Yeah, go for it, tough guy.
But the numbers aren't. Josh Allen has 43 total touchdowns this year. Aaron Rodgers has 45. Like it is.
It's close.
Josh Allen has thrown for more yards, has produced more total yards. It's a lot closer than I think people are getting credit for.
I think after tonight's performance where they absolutely shoved a trident in Bill Belichick's heart.
Why trident?
It just seems like a very painful three-stab situation across the chest. But
yeah, I agree.
I think because of the way they just, I mean, they won the AFC East and then they followed it up with, we are going to obliterate the Patriots. I don't want to call it a game script, but there is a pathway where the Bears defense shows up against the Packers and Aaron Rodgers lays an egg in week 17. Russell Wilson, beats the 49ers, steals the number one seed. I think the Packers can only fall down to the two, right? Because they have a tiebreaker over the Saints.
Both the Saints and the Seahawks can still get the one seed.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
So,
But the Packers can't fall to three.
The Packers can fall to three.
They can fall to three.
If the Seahawks and Saints both win and the Packers lose, they're all 12-4 and the Packers fall to three.
Okay. Thank you, Breach. There we go. This is the way.
That's a Mandalorian saying.
That was, I like the Mandalorian. If the Packers lose and Aaron Rodgers plays like crap, and I don't think that's likely, but if that happens and the Bills play Josh Allen for the full game against the Dolphins and they annihilate the Dolphins, there will be, I'm not sure when the votes are due.
They're due the day on Monday. So they're due the day after the season ends.
My only concern is that like Pete Prisco, who is as big a Josh Allen honk as it comes, has not done any pumping up of this. So I think it's
unlikely.
He's
on the Aaron Rodgers train right now.
Well, I think one thing you have to consider though is that even if Aaron Rodgers has a meltdown, there is an outside chance that Josh Allen doesn't play against the Dolphins.
I'm starting to think the Bills are going to play. Like they had a quote from Josh Allen that said, we're just here to win the next two games. I don't know if it's the Buffalo mayor or the New York governor. Is it Cuomo who's the governor? Or is he right? Yeah. Cuomo's a Bills fan. I think they've made some sort of exception where they're going to get a ton of Bills fans in for the playoffs. So
you're encouraged to have a second home game to pick up that two seed.
Exactly. And it's also like, if you're Buffalo, I don't know that you want to slow down right now. I think it's like the opposite of Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh needs to, you almost want to be like, all right, great second half against the Colts. Let's
wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up and get healthy. Buffalo wants to keep your foot to the gas. Their only losses this year. The 12-3, their only losses this year are that weird COVID loss to the Titans, where the Titans didn't practice for 2 weeks and just came out and blitzkrieged them. They lost the next week to the Chiefs by, I think, 7 points, and then the Hail Mary game.
Right.
They have an incredible, almost impeccable resume.
And also that Chiefs game was rescheduled. So they've lost two rescheduled games and a Hail Mary.
I'll say it one last time. Because, you know, Breach talks a lot, but he doesn't back it up. Scared money don't make none, Breach.
If I have an option to bet on Josh Allen to win MVP at 12-1 tomorrow, I will do it.
You have it right now. What are you waiting for?
I can't. I'm in North Carolina. I can't bet on William Hill.
And also, yeah, I can't bet on William Hill either, Wilson. I got to check what it is on my old site.
Yeah.
Well, let's check our balance. 75 cents. Yeah. Up. 75% on the air, boys. but yeah, look, the
Breach is basically the Pick Six podcast version of Jim Cramer. I mean, he talks all this stuff and he's just
Cramer heat.
I know, Cramer heat. I'm superseding the passive aggressive Breach before he shows up.
I just think that there is a path in week 17 where Josh Allen flips it on Aaron Rodgers. And now, now after going for 320 and four and again, tridenting Belichick, I think that the percentage is, I think it's better. It went from like 25 to one to like 10 to one.
Let me say this, and I'm just sort of half kidding about Josh Allen because he played awesome tonight. And one of my concerns coming into this, when people ask me who's the best team to match up against the Chiefs in the playoffs, I always say the Bills, with the exception that the Titans are back there because the Titans can do what they did last year in the playoffs because of Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill. Their defense sucks. Who knows that? But my issues with the Bills were, will Josh Allen show up in big moments? He didn't do it last year in the playoffs. That the Texans game where he threw the ball behind his head and sort of just imploded. He hasn't done that this year. He hasn't done it on national television.
He's done the opposite. He's shown up in big ways in big moments.
He stuck it to the Steelers on national television. He just stuck it to the Patriots in a game, as you pointed out, that he tried it to them time and time again with some of the throws he made. And I feel like in the playoffs, it'll be more of the same. It won't be the old Josh Allen. And if that's the case, I mean, I think if this game is the game we play in KC will have fans. I think the spread's like 3.5.
I think spread's probably like 4 or 5, but I would hammer the Bills.
And the Bills are crushing everyone right now. This was their fifth straight win, and not just the fifth straight win. They've won every single one of those games by double digits. And, you know, like last week it was beating the Broncos 48-19. Then you bounce back and you beat the Patriots. Is that the same amount? Beating two teams by 29 points in the NFL 2 weeks in a row?
The Bills came out, did this at the beginning of the season, had a little lull, and now have done the same thing. I will say this. If you listen to this podcast on Sunday night or Monday morning, and you bet with William Hill, we told you to bet Aaron Rodgers at anything less, anything better than 200 to 1. He's minus 260 now, the favorite. If I were holding an Aaron Rodgers ticket of any kind on the MVP race, I would bet something on Josh Allen to hedge it. I don't think Patrick Mahomes is going to play meaningful snaps in week 17 because the Chiefs
Not. Andy Reid said they're going to sit people.
Exactly. No, he didn't say who.
Didn't say who, but I can guess.
There's no chance he plays four quarters.
Yeah, I can see him playing a quarter at most.
Right. So he's not going to win the MVP. He's 2 to 1. Do not bet that. But Josh Allen at 12 to 1, if you're holding a Rodgers ticket of any kind, ranging from minus 200 to 5 to 1, Allen is the hedge there. Take some out of it. Make sure you don't lose money and guarantee yourself a profit, because Rodgers is probably winning, but Allen could flip it. There's a path for that.
I wonder how Mahomes feels about, or just, you know, the Chiefs offense. They're usually pretty in sync and a well-oiled machine, but taking 2 weeks off.
This is not a Mahomes podcast.
Taking 2 weeks off. It could be rough.
Yeah. But they won 7 games by 6 points or less.
Yeah. Breach hates Breach is very specific about how much time he can take off. You can't take off too much time. You can't take off too little time.
Not 6 weeks. It's 7 weeks.
2 weeks is a long time for a football team to not be playing any games.
The Bengals are about to go 6 months without playing, so calm down, okay?
That's every team is.
There it is. There it is.
Hold on one second.
To Breach's point about the Bills crushing teams, and you just sort of hit it on there, the Chiefs haven't done that. So whether they play or not, I don't know. Whether they're in sync or not, I don't know if that's going to magically fix itself. But that's why I think the Bills right now, and maybe they lose by 40 points next week, I doubt they do, have the momentum and like the legit momentum as the second best team in the conference, and it's close. Like, I don't think there's a big gap.
Are we going to be if we're asked to pick our teams who make the playoffs again or make the Super Bowl again at the conclusion of the regular season? I might take the Bills.
I'm jumping on the Bills because I don't even know if people are going to be jumping on the Chiefs. I think a lot of people will be jumping on the Bills bandwagon.
Well, I mean, if everybody's on the Bills, then I want the Chiefs. But if the Bills are not the popular team and everybody assumes the Chiefs will do it, I don't hate the Bills to win the Super Bowl at 9-1.
The Bills are 9-1 right now to win it all.
Don't hate it. Don't hate it one bit.
Don't hate to see it.
All right, let's wrap up the Bills talk. Stephon Diggs is a top 5 wide receiver. Josh Allen is a top 5 quarterback this year. Yeah. May have established himself as a top 5 quarterback in the NFL, period, moving forward. The Bills are fantastic. and the Patriots have a whole lot of soul searching to do.
Yeah.
I will say it felt like the Bills were taking out 20 years of frustration on New England. Like, I feel like McDermott almost thought for a second, like, man, should we hit 50 in this game? Because this was the worst home loss ever for Belichick since he's been with the Patriots. The first time the Bills have swept the Patriots since 1999. So it has been 21 years since the Bills swept New England. So just little things like that. But that's how good this team is. They're just...
And that's also how bad this New England team is.
Yeah, New England's bad. All
that's
right.
True, but no one else beat New England by 29.
We're going to have plenty of time to talk about the Bills as we preview the playoffs. They tried to do the Patriots. That's it. It's over. That's the Monday Night Preview. Make sure and check out your feed for other podcasts. For John Breach and Ryan Wilson, I'm Will Brinson. See you guys later.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.